Good morning, Meriden Hills Baptist Church. What a thrill to have you with us today. Yes, good morning. We have an exciting worship service. Well, every worship service here at Meriden Hills is exciting, but this one's exciting and different. As I had told you the last few weeks, we are doing a series on a family of faith, and today's message is entitled Child of Faith. We're going to have all the children staying with us. I'd also warned you that the way I'm going to preach, the style of my preaching, the method of my preaching, the content of my preaching, and even what I include in illustrations and singing within my preaching is going to be like nothing you've ever seen me do before. Unless you've come to a vacation Bible school, you might see something similar. So parents, the truth that you're going to find tonight, this morning, grandparents, friends, adults of all ages, there will be truth in the message this morning that you will walk away and say, wow, God is good. That applies to me. But just understand that the method which I'm going to communicate that truth to you is going to be below your level because I'm teaching it to the children today. So let's go ahead and start with the word of prayer and we'll begin with the video. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love, for your people, for this church and the opportunity to worship you in this church, this body of believers who love you. I pray that as we worship today, as we spend some time taking God's word and giving it to the children that all here today, children and adults alike, would walk away with a deeper love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
What have I done?
Nothing we can do to earn God's love. It is given freely. Our series on a family of faith, let's go ahead and stand as we sing The Family of God, hymn 419. I don't know about you, but I truly am thrilled to be part of His family, the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain cleansed by His blood. Joined there with Jesus as we travel this road. For a part of the family, the family of God. One more time. I'm so glad. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined in the Jesus, and traveled His blood. For a part of the family, the family of God. Hey, you know what's great about God? There's some that believe God chooses only the best to be part of His family. Only if you're a good worker or a good person, you know, if you go to a good church or the right church, you get to be part of God's family, but that is not the case. In the Bible tells us that God commended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's invitation to be part of His family is open to everyone. And that's just one of many reasons why we serve such an awesome God. 179. Thank you. You know, a lot of people don't like singing. We've talked about this before. And people wonder, why do we sing so much in church? We don't sing a lot because I like hearing you sing, although I do. That's not the reason we do it. We don't sing because you like singing in church. Some of you do, some of you don't. Not the reason we do it. The reason I sing, and the reason as a pastor I encourage you and lead you to sing, is because God likes to hear you sing. You say, why would God like to hear me sing? I am just as perplexed as you are. I'm not sure why God would want to hear a bunch of sinners saved by grace sing. But we're told in the Word of God, He loves to hear the worship, the praises of His people. And you say, I'm not sure what to sing about. My life's difficult. A lot of hard things going on right now. You can always sing about God's mercies. You say, well, I wish God was more merciful to me than He already is. Look, the greatest mercy is that God allows for you to go to heaven when you die. If you can't sing about anything else, sing about that. Let's sing about God's mercies now, 161.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, the Lord may show
as you're being seated. You can sit down now if you like and pray as you're seated. You can stay standing and pray as you're standing. You can follow my example and take a knee and pray to God as you kneel. But let's go to God now this morning. Remember the morning message on a child of faith. Can I ask you as a pastor to pray for the children in this room? When I say children, I don't just mean 5-year-olds. I mean 15-year-olds. They are still a child. Not a child in maturity, but a child of a parent and hopefully a child of God. Let's pray for our children. Some of you have adult children. Let's pray for them as well. Dear Father, I'm so grateful that I am your child. And I've been your child for most of my life. And the journey that you've taken me on, the place that you brought me to here in Connecticut, I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve your kingdom and these people. But Lord, now this morning, my heart is heavy for the next generation of children. Those still in their journey, very early in their journey, deciding what direction they're going to go. Deciding if following you is truly the best route they can take in their life, deciding if they want to follow the world or follow your word. A lot of these children are torn between their friends and their faith. They're torn between deception given to them by the entertainment and the truth given to them by their family and your word. And I pray that you'd help the children of all ages, adults, children, teens, just open their eyes and heart to the truth of your word this morning and to make a decision to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm just going to warn you, this morning's singing of our worship service is going to be short. In fact, we're almost done. We only got 2 more songs. Purposely so. I'm really, really excited to preach this morning's message. But it's not really going to be preaching. It's going to be a combination of preaching, teaching, and just having fun with the kids this morning. But we are going to continue singing during my preaching. So we'll be singing more songs, just not during what you might call the main worship service portion of our music. But let's continue singing now, worthy of worship. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God is worthy of worship even though He has not been giving you everything you want? Even though He hasn't allowed you to feel strongly His presence this last week? Is He still worthy of worship? Even though instead of His grace and mercy, He's allowed temptations and judgment in your life lately. Is He still worthy of worship? Even though you still have so much further to go in your Christian journey, and sometimes a little discouraging when you really evaluate where you're at, is He still worthy of worship? Yes, He is. God's not good because of what He does for you today. God does for you regularly because He is good. Even those things that don't seem good to us, God has a bigger plan and they're good to Him. Now this morning as we go into our preaching, the lesson that God has given me to give to our children, as adults we have to understand that God is fully capable of raising up the next generation without your help. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need the other adults in this room to bring a generation to Him in love. But another amazing thing about God, another reason that He's so awesome, is God wants to use you. Now, not only does God want to use you, but the world wants to use you as well. The world wants to use you to tear down the very thing that God wants to use you for. So adults, who are you being used by? Are you being used by God to bring up the next generation of faithful followers? Or are you being used by the world to bring up a next generation of deceived children? How are you being used? Who is using you? I pray that God uses me and the next generation will be able to look to my example as one who is faithful to my Savior. 456. Dear Father, I pray just as much for the adults this morning as I do for the children, that for the sake of the children, my children, the children represented here by these families, that all of us sitting here today that call ourselves leaders, that call ourselves men and women of God, that would refer to ourselves as adults, that we would all be examples to the children you've placed in this church. We love you dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could please get out your Bibles and turn to the book of Jude. Just as we saw in the books of 2 John and 3 John, there is only one chapter in the book of Jude. For your sake, I just went ahead and put up there Jude chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. I know some of us Some came in a little later today. Some might not have been here last week, so I'm going to just say it one more time. If you are visiting today, or if you haven't been here in a while, or if you've been in a while and you are going to be concerned about what you see next, please understand, adults, I'm not preaching for your sake this morning. I'm preaching for the sake of our teens and children. I have learned as a communicator, whether of God's word or otherwise, one of the greatest things you can do to be successful in communicating is to know your audience. To know your audience. I'm not doing the kids any good if I preach like I normally do to adults and say, now children, just listen. Now there are some churches and there are some pastors who would do exactly that. I'm not one of them. So I don't preach to the adults like I do to the children, and I don't preach to the children like I do to the adults. Teens are somewhere in between both of those. So adults, I'm going to tell you one more time this morning, the truth that I'm going to give is still truth for you. If you have your eyes open, your ears open, and your heart open, you will be blessed this morning, I promise you. But I'm also going to promise you, we're going to smile together, we're going to laugh together, we're going to have a good time. The kids are going to have a good time, I promise you that. And if the kids don't have a great time, then kids, I will refund you all of your money that you paid to be here today, okay? There you go. Is that a deal? Good. Now, I am preaching, I am looking to God's Word, we want to look into God's Word, but let's start with that and then get into the message this morning. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So Jude is a man who loved God. He loved God dearly. But he not only loved God, who else did he love? He loved God's people. You know, a great Christian is not just one who says, I love God, I love God. That's great, kids, that's great, teens, to say you love God. But you know what a great sign of a lover of God is? If you want to show me someone who loves God, you know what I got to see in them? I got to see in them a love for who? God's people. Yes, people in general, for sure, but specifically God's people. You say, well, this person loves God, but they don't love God's people. I'm going to say, all right, I'm not going to say they're not saved. I don't know that. But I will tell you this. If they don't love God's people, they don't love God as God wants to be loved. They don't love God like they should. Can you have an emotional love for God, a warm, fuzzy feeling that you feel good when you sing songs about God? You can have that. But God says he wants a special kind of love. And that special kind of love includes love for his people. And Jude loved the people of God. Some of you kids, you say, oh, do we have to go to church? You know what I tell my daughters? I say, you get to go to church. Why? Because when you go to church, who do you get to see? God's people. Kids, when you go to church, it's a chance for you to love God's people, whether adults, children, or teens. You can show love to God's people, and that's an important part of what we should do as Christians. Now, I see four important things that God wants us to know in this one chapter in the book of Jude. The first thing that I see is what I refer to as the battle within. The battle within. Jude chapter 1, let's go to verse 3. Beloved Christians, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful to me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, that word contend actually means fight. God says, when I asked you to follow me, when I allowed you to be a believer, when you became a Christian, God says, I called you to fight. Now, some of you kids, you really like to fight. How many of you guys like to wrestle your brother or sister? How many of you have brothers or sisters that don't like it when you do wrestle them? And that's when you really love to wrestle them. You wrestle them even more. Oh, yeah. I have four daughters, and one of my daughters has come up with a phrase for when one of the sisters wrestles another sister and they don't like it. She refers to it as torture time. And she says to her other sister, oh, now it's your turn for torture time when one of my younger daughters wrestles the older daughter and she doesn't like it. You guys have a lot of torture time going on in your home, kids? Yeah. Some of you teens are getting torture time, and your younger siblings are, let's play, let's wrestle. You know, you guys like to fight. There's something about humanity, something about being alive, that we kind of enjoy competition. And we often enjoy competition that involves some type of physical contact, whether it's the giants, hey, let's arm wrestle, or, you know, king of the mountain, king of the hill, and I'm the biggest, and I'm the strongest, and everyone else, you're the weakest, and throw you down the hill. And your girls are like, girls want to play that game too. Yeah, I've seen girls play that game too. You guys are feisty at King of the Hill. So, we like to have physical competitions and prove who's the best and prove who's the strongest. You know, I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with competition, even physical competition, when it's done in love. But there's a lot of time, kids, when we do fight, and we're not fighting because we love. We're fighting because we don't like someone. We're fighting our brother or sister because we're upset with them and we're calling them names and we're throwing stuff at them, we're kicking them, we're spitting on them, or we're wrestling them with torture time, right? And it's not because it's fun, it's because we're upset. Sometimes we're fighting our parents, teenagers, and there is nothing fun about that. It's not fun for you and it's not fun for them. And your fight is nothing to do with competition. In fun, it's to do with to see who's going to win what they want, and you fight your parents' teams. Now, God's word does say we're in a fight. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, when I'm a leader, Paul said, I fight for my Christianity like a boxer. And he says, I don't just close my eyes and fight the shadows and fight the wind and fight the wall. Paul, the Apostle, said, when I fight, I pay attention to who I'm fighting and making sure that I'm going to win when I fight. Now, I need a volunteer. Which kid is brave enough to come up here and do something for me and with me today? They're all girls. All the girls are the only ones raising their hand. No brave guys here today. I see one way in the corner. All right, come on, Sammy. It's not that I don't mind girls, but I'm going to be fighting. I don't want to fight a girl. It would look bad for the pastor to fight a girl. But I can fight Sammy. It's okay. That won't be a problem. Right, Deani? You don't mind me fighting your son this morning? Oh, she said beat him up. She's like, wow, take him down. I saw that, Deani. You even gave him like the fist. Like, get him when you get up there. Come on, Sammy. Come on up here. Now, we're not going to box, Sammy. I didn't want to fight you boxing. Come on, no, down here, man. Come on down here. We're gonna sword fight, okay? So here's the thing, guys, about a lot of Christians. So a lot of Christians, what is the sword for a Christian? The Bible tells us that the sword is what? The Bible, that's right. So let's say this is the Bible. Sammy, you got your Bible? Show me your Bible, man. Let's see it. Shing, 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 shing. Can you do that? Come on, man. Let's see it. What are you doing? He's using the Bible like a lot of Christians do. They're like, yeah. Come on, man. Be a strong Christian. Be a warrior. Nope, that's still how a lot of Christians do it. They're like, la-di-da-di-da. Here's the Bible. I'll use it when I want to. Okay, do we need a new volunteer? Are you going to be able to fight with me? Okay. Where did you get a new volunteer that can actually fight up here? Ariah, come on up. No, I'm sorry. You know Alana. Excuse me, Alana. Alana's older. I think I'll go ahead and fight the girls since there's all the girls left anyways. Come on, Alana. Okay, so Alana, here's your sword. What's the sword represent? Take it easy. Who are you telling her to take it easy on me or me to take it easy on her? Who are you talking to? All right, so you got the sword, right, Alana? So here's the thing with a lot of Christians. We have our sword, we got the truth of God's word, and we're going to take God's truth and do well with it. Fight with it. Who are we fighting? Other Christians. Get them. Here we go. Ah, take that and that. Ah, here's the truth of God's word. You need to be nice to me. You need to be nice to me. Why are you so mean? What in the world? What was that? What was that? Okay, you come over here. That side's scary. You ready? Ah, take that! And that! Take that! That's the truth of God's word. You need to be nice to me! And what in the world? Okay, Alana, this is not working. We're taking God's word and fighting each other with it, and every time we do that, someone else comes and gets me from behind. So would you be helpful to me? Can you watch my back on this side over here? Come on over here. We're gonna fight together, okay? I promise. I won't hurt you. Come on. I've been fighting for so long, she doesn't believe me. Come on over here. Here you go. Turn that way. Now you watch that way, and I'm going to watch this way. You ready? Okay, keep your eyes open. Let's make sure no one comes out and attacks us. If they do, use the word. Oh, here they come. Here they come. All right, I got him. Watch him. There you go. Got him. I got him. Okay. There you go. Good. You got him. There you go. Good job, Alana. Thank you. You can keep that sword. Go ahead. So, unfortunately, a lot of times for Christians, there is a fight to be won. God's word is a tool to be used. We're so busy using that tool against other Christians, tearing them down because they don't think like us, kids, tearing them down because they don't like us as much as we want to, that we use verses to attack them. We use God's word to attack other people. Now, kids, you're in a fight. But the fight is not you versus your friends. It's not you versus your parents. It's not you versus the pastor or the church. It's you versus the world. It's you versus those who are trying to tear you from God. It's you versus Satan, his demons, and all those who serve him. Your fight, the Bible tells us, is against spiritual darkness. Kids, what does that mean? Spiritual darkness are the thoughts that come into your head that tell you, hey, you need to yell at your mom. Spiritual darkness is the emotions that come into you and say, you need to hit your brother. spiritual darkness is the temptation that comes and says, you need to lie to your parents so you don't get in trouble. That's all spiritual darkness. There's a lot more. It's sin, it's temptation. And if you weren't so busy fighting other Christians, kids, teens, adults, we could focus more on using God's word, how it should be used. The fight within us against the sin and the temptation that overwhelms us, rather than being so busy trying to tear down other Christians. What did Jude have to say? He says in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Fight for the faith, guys, girls, men, women, children, teens. Stop fighting against the faith. Stop fighting against the faithful. Fight for God with other Christians. And when you do, you will find yourself gaining victory. Now, I told you we were going to have some fun today. We're going to sing a song that some of you might recognize. I haven't sung this song. Well, I sang it last night as I was preparing this message. I haven't sung it, though, since I was a kid. It's a great song. I want you to stand up and sing it with me. Some of the kids probably never heard it before, so it's your first chance. The song is called Lean on Me by Bill Withers. A reminder as Christians of how we should live our lives with each other, fighting for each other, not against each other.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain.
I know that song's not a Christian song, but what a great truth to it, right? This idea of lean on me, I'll lean on you, we'll help each other get through. Now, I don't normally do this, but my illustration should be in the room getting changed for the next illustration. I think there might have been some confusion, but what you were wearing should be for this next illustration. I figured you guys weren't ready since you're sitting back in here. So if you two guys want to get back in there and do that again for me. Yeah, that's what happens when there's no rehearsal. We should have had rehearsal. Oh, well. All right, so the next verses we're going to look at is Jude, chapter 1, verses 4 through 16. I am not going to read all these verses. If I was teaching children, I would just explain them. But I will read some of them, and then give you the idea of what it means. So Jude chapter 1 verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. And now some of you know why these guys are changing back into their outfits, right? Ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness or wickedness, immorality, and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing, kids, teens, and adults, I want to remind you of today is something I call the friendship effect. And what is the friendship effect? It is the idea that you are affected by who? Your friends. Whoa! Amazing, right? Did you know that the people you hang out with are going to cause you to start thinking a certain way? Did you know, kids, the people you hang out with will start causing you to act a certain way, to even talk a certain way? I was talking with a young man recently, not in our church, not here today, not a member or a child of one of our members. And this young man was saying, you know, I have a problem with cussing. And we were talking about this. I said, so I know your parents, and I know they don't swear. I know they don't cuss. So why are you talking the way you do? You know what he said? Can you guess? My friends do. In fact, that's not a conversation I've only heard once in my life. That is a conversation I've heard a lot of times about various things. My friends do. Well, when I'm with my friends and they start swearing, using God's name in vain, talking about certain things, well, eventually in my head I start thinking it, and then from thinking it I start doing what? Saying. I see my friends and how they treat their parents, and I know it's not right, but eventually I start treating my parents the same way. I see my friends and how they dress. Now, kids, let's be honest. When your kids are wearing certain clothes and the friends are wearing certain clothes, a lot of you, as you get older especially, what do you want to start doing? Dressing like your friends. Parents, have you noticed that with your kids? You're thinking, why does my kid want to start buying these shoes? They never wanted these shoes before. Let me give you a hint. Go look at what shoes your kids' friends are wearing. That will answer your question. Why do my kids want to start buying these clothes, wearing these hats, shaping their hair color or style in this way? None of us do that. Look at their friends and you'll find, oh, the friends do that. The friendship effect doesn't just take place when you're young. It's really heavy when you're a teenager, but it doesn't leave until you're dead. For as long as you're alive, your friends will affect you. So kids, what does that mean? It means choose your friends wisely. In Jude chapter 1, Jude reminds the church. He says, hey, there are guys, and I believe girls too. He says men here specifically, but men and women that are coming into the church and their love for God is not there. Their love for God's people is not there. They hate God. They hate God's people. You say, well, then why are they in church? Who knows? They're in church to feel good. They're in church to cause destruction. They're in church because their parents made them. I don't know. But there are people who go to church. Did you know there's people, kids, who go to Christian school? They don't love God. They don't love God's word. They don't love God's people. And if you are friends with those people, the friendship effect will take place in your life. Parents, you have every right and every responsibility to make sure that the friends your kids have are healthy friendships. And if they're not, step in, please, and do something about it. Because you are partly to blame if you let your kids be friends with people who are destroying them. So kids, who should we be friends with? You know what I tell my daughters? I tell them, in fact, I just told my daughter, I think it was yesterday, the day before, Kenzie, who are your sisters? Family. And our family is what? Friends. What kind of friends? Best friends. That's what I tell my daughters all the time. Our family is our best friend. Kids, who are your friends? Should be your family. But it should be anyone who's best friends with God. If God is their friend, that's the person you should be one of friends with as well. Whether you're 5 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old. Choose friends who've already made God their friend. Do not choose friends like the book of Jude who hate God. Now, we're not going to read it, but the book of Jude talks a lot about these guys and girls, and it says what happens to them. How does God treat people eventually who hate him, hate his people, and try to destroy God's kingdom? What's he going to do? He's going to judge them. And God talks about that judgment. And he says in the book of Jude how they were judged and how they're going to be judged. And kids, if you're friends with people when they're judged by God, what's going to happen to you? You're also going to be judged as well because you're friends with them. Now, I'd like my two men to come back out here again. You know, the thing is about friends, a lot of times we assume that people look. Oh, boy, you guys look better than I thought you would. Okay, come on up here so everyone can see you. Oh, I got a great pastoral staff. All right, so, and the stormtrooper really is smaller than Darth Vader, so this is actually true to life right here. Watch this cue back over so we can get you right in the middle camera. There you go. Okay, don't shake your head at me, stormtrooper. All right, so we often think that that people are dressed the way they think. So the evil friends walk around dressed evilly. I mean, they've got, like, you know, the word, I am evil, I hate you, like, tattooed on their face, right? They've got on their arm, all Christians are crazy, and God doesn't exist, tattooed on their arms. And you say, I shouldn't be that friend, because they look like the bad guy. Now, some of you who have not watched Star Wars, these are the bad guys in the movies Star Wars. Okay, I'm going to clarify that for you. So these bad guys, you're not going to want to be friends with these guys. Now, I'm completely aware that in the end, Darth Vader turns good. And in one of the recent movies, the stormtrooper is a good stormtrooper. But generally speaking, Darth Vader was not a nice guy. Killed a lot of people in his life. And most stormtroopers, not nice guys. You go up and try to shake their hand, they will shoot you, right? So they're not good guys. So you think, well, don't be these guys' friends because they don't look nice. They don't look like good people. So I will not be their friends. But as long as they're not wearing the mask, and there he is. Oh, he looks like a nice guy. I'll be his friend. Now, Pastor Ethan is a nice guy, kids. You can be his friend, okay? But we're thinking, oh, he looks like a nice guy. I'll be his friend for no other reason than that he's smiling and he looks nice. But we think all the people who aren't nice are wearing the mask. And if they were wearing a mask, don't be their friends. Kids, the truth is about friends, they're going to look oftentimes just like you. Parents, these kids who are destroying your kids look a lot like all kids. Don't be so foolish as to say, oh, their hair is trimmed, their clothes are nice, not seeing any crazy things written all over their body. They're good for my kids. They don't look like Darth Vader. They don't look like a stormtrooper. It's all good. Come to my house. Spend time with my kids. Why are we so foolish as to believe all the bad guys always look like bad guys? All the people who hate God always look like they hate God. That's not the case. Kids, teens, parents, don't be so foolish as to believe that everyone looks on the outside who they are on the inside. Thank you, guys. Well done. I appreciate it. I'm going to plant a round of applause for them. You guys on the platform, they look so good. All right, our next song. This song, I think a lot of you are going to be more familiar with. This is one of my favorite Disney songs, and it is You've Got a Friend in Me. You can stay seated for this song. By the way, the author, the penman, or the song is Randy Newman. You've Got a Friend in Me. But hey, let's remember, the kids need to have a friend, adults. And if they're not going to find a friend in their family, they're going to find it somewhere else. And kids, if you love God, and you will not be a friend to other kids who love God, then those other kids will be friends with other kids who don't love God. Those in this room, I know this song may seem like, why are we singing it in church? Because it's a great truth for Christians. And we need to sing songs like this more that remind us, you are a friend of me, I'm a friend of you. The third thing that I see in this book of Jude is something I call heart of worship. A heart of worship. The Bible tells us in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But ye, beloved, or Christians, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What does it mean to, in verse 21, keeping yourself in the love of God? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? I believe you keep yourself in the love of God by loving God and allowing God to love you. You say, well, Pastor Russ, doesn't God love me no matter what I do? Yes, he does. But God is allowed and able to show you his love, kids, when you show love back to him. Here's the thing with my daughters. I love my daughters very dearly. And honestly, if I wasn't trying to prepare them to be adults, responsible, independent, I would spoil them rotten. But I don't spoil them rotten. And it's not because I don't love them. It's because I want to see them be successful. You know what the thing is, though, with my daughters? When my daughters make good choices, when my daughters obey and treat me and their mother with respect, that allows me to give things to my daughters that I want them to have. But I'm not a stupid dad. And if my daughters come up to me and say, Dad, you're stupid, and walk out, not only will I not give them something nice, they will get something that's not nice. And God's the same way with us. Look, God loves you, adults. Kids, God loves you dearly. Teens, God loves you more than anything itself. In fact, I would go as far to say, Jesus loves you more than life itself, and he proved it by dying for you. We can't deny that God loves us. They say, well, why doesn't God give me love the way I want to be loved? Well, two things. One is, the way you want to be loved may not be the way God wants to love you. The second thing is, you're not allowing God to love you, kids, because you're not obeying your parents. You're not obeying the authority in your life. You're not treating others with kindness and respect, teens. You're not showing God the love that he wants to see from you. So God is not able to give you love in return as much as he wants to. What does he have to do? He has to give you discipline. Why? Why would God give me discipline if he loves me? The Bible tells us that God chastises those he loves. Why? Because he wants you to be successful, kids. And so if you have a bad attitude at home, if you're treating others in your family with hatred or unkindness, if you're mouthing off to your parents or your brothers or sisters, if you're lying, cheating, stealing, kids, teens, adults, God loves you, but the only way God's going to show you love at that time is through chastisement, through judgment, through discipline. But kids, when you show love to your parents, when you show love to your brother and sister, when you show love to the adults and other kids in this church, God is now able to give you what he wants to give you because he loves you. When we worship here at our church, Meriden Hills, and we sing songs and we hear music and we hear the preaching, we respond to it. Is that what worship is? Singing and preaching? No, worship is putting God first in your life. That's worship. We just do it in one way at our church by singing and preaching. But kids, you can worship God at home by making him important in your life. How do you do that? By praying to him. By obeying what he wants for you at home, teens. You can worship God at school in the conversations that you have with your friends. By the way you treat your teachers. You can worship God by what you do, putting him first at all times. And Jude reminds the church in verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want that. We want God's mercy. But, verse 21, keep ourselves in the love of God. Love God. Love your family. Love the friends that God has placed in your life that also love God. Worship God by keeping him first. And God will give you the nice things that he wants you to have. Our next song is a song that our teens would recognize, that I sang with them a while ago. And some of our kids might recognize if you've sung it at camp. And that is Love the Lord. Now, it actually is a song where there's a round, which means one part sings and the other part sings behind it. We're not going to do that today. We're just going to sing the song straight through as it would be sung together. So let's go ahead and stay seated as we sing Love the Lord. Kind of doing this. So let's sing it again. Now it's not the first time you sung it, it's the second time you sung it. Kids, I would hear you sing it out loud. I know you're good with new songs. Here we go. Easy one to sing. Great song. I really love that song. I love singing it with our teens. The final point I want to make, kids, this morning in the book of Jude is the final point I believe Jude makes. Verses 24 and 25, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. When I was your age, kids, and I say your age, I'm talking about a lot of you, because I struggled with this a large part of my life as a young child and through my teen years. A lot of kids and a lot of adults struggle with the fact of, am I still saved? So they made a profession of faith. They accepted Christ as a Savior. They trusted in Jesus to save them from their sins. Then they stopped loving God. They stopped loving God's people. They stopped loving to go to church. They stopped loving God's word. And they think, oh, because I don't love God like I should, God doesn't love me like I want him to. God no longer allows me to go to heaven because I've messed up. I've lost my salvation. I've lost the opportunity to go to heaven. And so what do? God, please forgive me. Please save me. Amen. The next day they get up, make a bad decision. Go to bed that night. God, please forgive me. Please save me. Amen. Next day, make a bad decision. That night, God, please forgive me. God, save me. Amen. And there are children spread throughout America in countless churches today, who are in junior church, who are in Sunday school, who are in the main service, not even sure that they're saved. Not even sure that they're still saved. They think that they've lost the salvation, that they're to die right now. They think they might go to hell. Here's the thing about salvation, guys, girls, men, women, teens. Salvation is free. God gives it to you freely. Grace. Grace is something given to you you do not deserve. God, in his grace, gives you salvation. You say, Pastor Russ, how do I get saved? It is not a special prayer. There's some people that say, pray after me and you'll be saved. And you pray that prayer and you grow up and think, oh, maybe I didn't pray the right prayer. Maybe that person said the wrong prayer and I said the wrong prayer. It doesn't really matter what you pray. What matters is who you're praying to and what you're asking of him. It doesn't matter the exact words you say it. So if you think you didn't pray the right prayer, that doesn't matter. Did you pray to Christ? Did you ask Christ to save you? Did you believe that Christ can save you? The Bible says clearly For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. You will be saved if you ask Christ to save you and in faith trust Him. Now here's another thing. Salvation is not only given to you freely. God says, I promise to keep you saved freely. There's nothing you have to do, kids, to stay saved. Nothing you had to do to get saved. Nothing you have to do to stay saved. Once you're saved, God's word promises you, you will always be saved. And when you die, when that time comes, you will go to heaven. Not because you deserve it, you don't. But because a loving Father wants to give the greatest of gifts to you, if you're willing to accept it. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Falling what? Falling into destruction. Sin in the sense of a sinner where you're going to hell. God says, I'm not going to let you fall back into that old man. I'm not going to let you fall back into that place of unsaved. God says, once you're mine, you're mine. Okay, I'd like Sydney, my daughter, to come on up here. Sydney, come on up. Come on, Sydney. It's okay. Come on up here, girl. Come on. I know, so embarrassed of all the people. But you're so beautiful today. It's all right. I know. You know what God's Word says in the New Testament? God's Word says that when you're saved in the book of John, that He holds you. And He says nothing can take you from His hand. He said nothing. No man can take you from His hand. Nothing. In fact, in Romans, God says that He loves you so much, nothing can separate you from His love. Now, when you think of God holding us His hand, we often think of God holding our hand, but that's not how I picture it. I picture it like this. God's holding me in His hands. Now, you notice what Sydney is not doing? If I was to let go of Sydney right now, what would happen to her? She'd fall. And a lot of you think that's exactly what's happening in your life as a Christian. You think that you're holding on to God very strongly. But as soon as you sin and let go, God also lets go and drops you. No good father tells his daughter, hold on to my neck because I'm letting go. I mean, if you're playing, all right. You don't just walk around the mall like that, right? A good father holds their small children in their hand. And a good father doesn't let go of their small children just because they're not holding on. And God's a great father. Christians, children, teens, your salvation is not there because you're holding on to God really strongly. You are saved because God is holding on to you very strongly. And God promises you in the book of John, He will never let you go. In the book of Jude, God says, I'm capable, I'm able to keep you from falling. I'm not going to let you go. In the book of Romans, He says, nothing can take you from the love that I have for you. I'm not going to let you go. Kids, teens, adults, how many times does God have to tell you you're not going anywhere before you believe it? If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, God's got you, and He's not letting go. I love you. Why don't you go sit next to your mom? Our last song today is called My Chains Are Gone. It's a variation of the song Amazing Grace. Why don't we stand as we sing this last song as we finish off our worship service. Thank you. Chance, take your kids, come on up here. Pray with your children, pray over your children, bring them up during this invitation time, asking that God would bless your family, bless your children, and that God would be able to bring to His will what He wants for your family. This is your chance as the pianist plays. Parents, come on up, pray with your children. Well, I hope you had as much fun today worshiping with me as I did worshiping with you. We're going to go ahead and take up the offering now. You may be seated. As we're taking up the offering, I'd like to give the announcements. If we could throw those up on the screen, that'll just be the last slide you left off on, Jim, and I'll go ahead and rotate through those. So we can have Al come on up here. Al's going to pray for the offering, God's blessing on it, and then we're going to have some announcements and dismiss, and I truly hope that your family has a fantastic afternoon. Al, if you could pray for God's blessing.
Heavenly Father, I praise you, Lord. I praise you for today, Lord. I praise you for for what a great day of worship today is, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for being our Savior, for your mercy and your grace, Lord, for showing your love for us, Lord. Thank you for the parents, Lord, who are raising their kids Christian, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give them the wisdom they need as they lead their children, Father. And I just pray you just be with each and every one of them. Bless them mightily, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for all that we do for you, Father. And we give you the glory and praise. Please, Lord, bless this offering. It's also a part of worship. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all our hearts, our minds, our soul. We ask this in Jesus' name by faith, Lord. Amen.
Our life groups are available at 10 o'clock. Those are Bible studies, personal small Bible studies. If you like small group settings, then I encourage you to be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday for our ladies' life group over the armor of God, the men's spiritual leadership, and then we have multiple life groups on the life of Christ. Our teens also meet for their Bible study upstairs, and that's the 6th through 12th grade. And then Sunday nights, including tonight, we're going over the history of the Bible. That's been a great study. We've been going book by book, looking at a broad idea of what that book teaches and who wrote that book. And then after we're done with that, we're going to go into the actual Bible itself, where it came from, how it got to us, and how it's been preserved over the time. Sunday nights is also our Awana group, and they are going to have their program tonight. And the theme is Mystery Night. So kids, come out tonight and find out what the mystery is. Hope to see you at 6 o'clock. Our Wednesday night Bible study is normally at 6:30. But this coming week, and by the way, our Bible study is on the life of David. But this coming week, we're going to have a business meeting instead of our Bible study. It might end up going into 2 weeks, so we'll see how it happens, how it goes this week. We're going to go over the budget, what we spent last year, what we're planning on spending this year, and covering a variety of things that need to be voted on. And I'll be giving those to you tonight. So if you're wanting to prayerfully consider before Wednesday how you're going to vote, come tonight or listen online to our Facebook, and we'll be hearing it there. Our mission trip to the Philippines. We're going to have a meeting tonight after the evening service, so about 7:15. If you are considering going on the trip to the Philippines, please be here, and we'll give you all the details and the cost associated with it and the deposit required. Hope to see you out if you have any interest. And by the way, going forward, I hope to go on a mission trip every summer. So if you can't make it this one, there will always be one next year. And then our final announcement for today is our date night. And this is whether you are dating or married. We don't care. We'd love for you to bring your loved one to our date night. It's going to begin at 5:30 here at the church, Meriden Hills. Show up here. We're going to have about a 25, 30-minute interactive session on turning words into action. And then after that point, we're going to head over to Azteca, have some Mexican food, and then we're going to go to an escape room in Wallingford, and we're going to compete against each other. Escape room, if you've never heard of one, you get put in a room, you're locked in that room, given clues, riddles. You have to figure them out and get yourself out of that room. So don't worry. No harm will come to you. There is no danger, only in your mind. It's not reality. And then after about an hour, whether you made it out of the room or not, they do eventually unlock the door and let you out. So don't feel like you're stuck there all night. There will be a time for you to just enjoy, maybe go to dessert with your loved one or some friends. The childcare is going to go till 9:15 here at the church, and we'll be done probably around 8:30, 8:45. So you can even get some dessert before coming to pick up the kids. We are providing child care. It is $10 per child. We know that's a lot. There's two reasons why. One, it's a fundraiser for our teens going to win a camp. Two, we're going to feed your kid dinner. So that cost includes them eating. If you have kids, want child care, drop them off at 5:30, and you don't have to pick them up again until 9:15. Either way, we hope to see you out. There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby on the table. Please let us know if you're coming so I can get the right amount of reservations for the table as well as the escape room, and then we can let the child care know. Yes. Why don't you come up and do that for me? So there's a mic here on the front. You can grab that. I'm going to let Pastor Ethan make an announcement about the winter retreat. And then Pastor Ethan, you're going to close us in prayer as well. Thank you.
Aha, there it is. So many of our parents who have teens in Meriden Hills Youth know that we have our winter retreat coming up this March from the 20th to the 22nd. We'll be leaving Wednesday afternoon, right around 12 o'clock, getting back sometime Friday, late afternoon, early evening. We'll let the teens get back to their parents as we update our day. But there's sign-up sheets in the back. The reason why we do have sign-up sheets, and there's a bit of a cost associated with it, it's on the sheet back there. If you have questions, let me know. We only have a limited amount of spots. We're running two different condos, one for the guys, one for the girls. So there is limited space. So if you'd like to know if we have a spot for you, please see me right afterwards. This is only open to our church teens until January 14th. After that, if I still have some slots open, I'll open up to our Christian school. So make sure if you want to get on that, get on it early. So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning and for the opportunity we had to gather together as a church. I pray that you'd be with our families. I know that we have a lot of decisions to make, myself, my wife included. God, I know that there are people at many different stages of life. Some people in here single. Some of us in here are past the age of childbearing. Some of us have kids that are out of the house. Some of us have yet to look forward to that opportunity. But wherever we are at our stage of life, God, I pray that you'd help us to take the truth that we learned this morning to impact children who are own and may not even be our own, but are part of this community that we call Meriden Hills Baptist Church. Be with us this afternoon as we go home. Keep us safe. And we love you. Help us to do our part in furthering your kingdom through Meriden Hills Baptist Church. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen.